Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to meditate on our second reading, or our epistle reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and Paul's thorn in the flesh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather today in your presence and to hear your word, and we pray now that that word would be a blessing to us, would strengthen us in our own weakness, and would build us up in faith and in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I remember as a child playing cricket barefoot with my cousins at their fruit block in Renmark. And at one point the ball went flying off the driveway and I gave chase as fast as my little legs could carry me. And I was heading along fairly well and then all of a sudden was stopped in my tracks, as many shooting pains rose through the soles of my feet, and I looked down to discover I was standing in a very heavy crop of three-corner jacks. Talk about a thorn in the flesh. I had many of them, more than I wanted to count, and spent the next hour with my feet soaking in warm salt water, feeling very sorry for myself indeed. The country cousins did their best to empathise with me, but they also got on with their game of cricket fairly quickly after that. Paul's description of this thorn in the flesh is one of those verses in the Bible which has become very commonly used, even by non-Christians. I think that's because it's a very vivid image, a very physical and relatable image. And yet it's also very easy to miss the point of why Paul raises it and what exactly it means in his life. So this morning, we're going to think about this thorn, the presence of Paul's thorn, the prayerful process by which he responds to it, and the power of God that he discovers within the context of that weakness. So first, the presence of the thorn itself. Now, Paul mentions this in this overall discussion with the Corinthians, at which point he's trying to defend his authority as an apostle and his ministry to them, because a number of people had questioned whether he was really an apostle, whether he had the authority to speak to them the way he did. And so Paul's trying to defend that ministry. Unlike those in Corinth who would often speak of their many spiritual gifts and their exciting spiritual experiences, Paul chooses to focus on his weakness when he speaks to them. Now, why is that? Because we know that Paul has many gifts for ministry, and we know that Paul has had quite incredible experiences in his life. There's his conversion experience, and then there's this experience he talks about today in a kind of roundabout way, which people think he's probably talking about himself. He had this experience of being caught up into paradise and hearing inexpressible things from God. So we know he's had some of those experiences. He has a lot of these gifts, and yet he chooses to speak in terms of his weakness. When he refers to those experiences, he's very honest about the fact that he doesn't even fully understand them himself. Was I in the body? Was I out of the body? I don't know. Only God knows. This sense that even he who was part of those experiences doesn't fully comprehend their reality or their significance. So what he does is rather quickly he moves on to something that he sees as more universal and more relatable and more practical and more helpful for the people that he's talking to. His weakness, his pain, his difficulties. Therefore, he writes, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Now, a thorn itself is either a sharp stake, it can refer to that kind of thing, which pierces the skin, or something smaller, like a splinter or something, which pierces the skin as well and then lodges underneath it and causes great irritation and frustration and even pain. That's probably the sort of thing Paul has in mind. Now, a lot of ink has been spilled in discussing just what Paul's thorn was. And there's all sorts of suggestions. And some people think it was an illness he had, like epilepsy or malaria. And some people think it was more of a mental illness, like depression. Some people think it was maybe a personality trait, like it was anger or it was impatience or it was a temptation he had that he struggled with. And then other people say, no, probably something more physical. Maybe he had a stutter, he didn't speak so well, or maybe his eyesight wasn't great. And I think there's probably a little more evidence for those kinds of things. But it's really all speculative, because Paul doesn't actually say what his thorn in the flesh is. He just leaves that to our imagination. I think that's helpful. I think that's important because it allows us to look at Paul and to see our own thorns and our own difficulties and hardships and pains and problems in his. We all have thorns, don't we? We have things that we are either born with or come into our life at some point, and they lodge there under our skin and they irritate us or they frustrate us or they cause us difficulty or pain. And they kind of just sit there and they make life hard. Now, the thorns differ from person to person. It's not that every person has the same thorn. It differs from person to person. But this side of eternity, every person does experience something, perhaps many things, that could be described as thorns in the flesh. What Paul is clear about is the purpose of his thorn, which he says is in order to keep me from becoming conceited. That is to keep me humble, to keep my feet on the ground, you know, to keep me reliant on God. God allowed this thing to come into my life and to lodge there under the skin. So how does Paul respond? What's the process? What's the prayerful process by which Paul responds? Firstly, he identifies something in this thorn. He identifies it as a messenger of Satan. Now, that's interesting because he's just kind of alluded to the fact that it was either given by God or allowed by God, and yet then on the other hand, he calls it a messenger of Satan. Somehow it's both. The way I like to see it is like an email, and you get the body of the email, and the email says to you, you have a thorn. Fairly simple, okay? You have a problem. You have an impediment. You know that. God knows that. Maybe other people know that too. But if you want more information or you want to interpret or understand why or how or what that means or how to live with it and deal with it, and then you've got to get some more information. And with some emails, you get attachments. And you open the attachment, more information, more details. Now, with every thorn, Paul seems to suggest that there are helpful attachments, there are not so helpful ones. And so he calls this thorn a messenger of Satan, because Satan comes along and he takes our thorns and he kind of twists them. And he says things to us like, you know that problem you have, you kind of deserve it. Or you caused it. Right? Or it's not the only one. What about all these? And not only do you have a lot of problems, but you're totally incapable of solving any of your problems. And not only do you have a lot of sins, but you're totally beyond help and grace and forgiveness. And where is your God in all this? Isn't he supposed to help with this kind of thing? What's he doing at the moment? And you see how Satan twists things, and he's so insidious and so crafty and gets under our skin and sends us all these messages. You see, they're not the thorn, but they accompany the thorn. And we too readily click on them and read them and listen to them over and over again and start to believe them. And that's a danger. Because Paul says there's another way. There's another way. There's other messages. There's another process that we can go through with these things in our life. And so he allows his thorns to drive him to his knees in prayer. And he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord, take this thing away from me. And what happened? He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." You see, this is the other side, the other attachment, the other message. That God comes along and knows we have these thorns, and when we bring them to God, He says to us, "Yeah, I know. Not yet. Hang in there. There's a plan here. There's a purpose. There's a reason. There's something you can learn in this. You can't see it now, but one day you will. You just need to trust me on that. Take heart, take courage. When you are weak, I am strong. When you are reliant, I am reliable. When you are hurting, I am healing. Walk with me. Come with me. Endure this with me." See the difference in the attachments, in the messages that go along. It's the same thorn. It's the same problem. It's the same experience. And yet it can be used so differently and have such a different impact in our lives. Which attachments are you opening, I wonder? Which messages are you listening to? Same thorns. Completely different way to understand them and respond to them and live with them in our lives. Now, God may not always answer our prayers how we want Him to, how we think He should, but there's always a message there. There's always a word. There's always something to click and to open and to consider. So that's what Paul spends his life doing with his thorns. Now, he recognizes within this experience, within the very experience of his weakness, an amazing strength. And this is how he concludes. "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong." Now, Paul is not saying that he goes looking for these things, that he wants them, that he somehow relishes them. He's not being that kind of great stoic. He's just saying, when they come into my life, I choose to see them through the lens of Jesus Christ. And he believes that his weakness, seen through the eyes of Christ, becomes a strength for him. Because Jesus too had thorns. Now we say every rose has its thorns. Well, Jesus had thorns too. We heard about some of them today. He came to his own town and his own people didn't listen to him and didn't want him and misunderstood him and maligned him. You know, it says in John 1, he came to what was his own and his own people did not receive him. That's a thorn. That's a thorn in his flesh. And still today, I think, you know, the people of God are some of the greatest thorns of God. He loves us, but boy, he must be frustrated by us at times. As we either reject him or sin against him or just keep him at an arm's distance, we become his thorns. We have splinters, God endures the cross. You know, we have sin, God endures the punishment. Vastly different. Jesus pleads with his Father, and this isn't vastly different from Paul. Jesus pleads with his Father to take it away from him. "Father, let this cup pass from me." So similar to Paul in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Jesus had many thorns, and eventually those thorns were woven into a crown and placed on his head. And he died under their weight and their shame. That's where we see most clearly that God's power is made perfect in weakness, as God's salvation comes to us through a cross. And to that cross, he attaches his greatest message, a message of love that endures and grace that persists and strength that overcomes. And so in that cross, he says to us, just as he said to Paul, "See, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us all over again to come to you in prayer and to see our weaknesses as opportunities for your strength to be at work in our lives, for you to be teaching us things, growing us, helping us to rely on you and not ourselves, so that we may only boast in you and the cross of Christ and not in ourselves. Lord, lead us and strengthen us and help us to endure what we must and to bring glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.